Well, did you bring your Bible this morning? Okay, if you didn't bring your Bible and you want one, there's some back there in the back, on the back. Well, you might not have brought your Bible. Maybe you brought your phone that has your Bible on it. That's okay, too. Some people have their Bible on their phone. And that's a wonderful thing. We've got no excuses, do we, for reading the Bible. Amen. We have it. We can play it. There's free downloads for your phone. You know, you can put it on at night, play it all night long while you're sleeping. You can play it while you're doing other things around the house. Hallelujah. We can hear the Word of God all the time, can't we? We can sit down, take time to read it ourselves. I like to read, you know, from my Bible. Sometimes I'll play, you know, something, you know, reading the Bible, but I like to follow along so that I see those words. You know, because that's what he said in Proverbs 4. You know what it says, okay, 20 through 24 there. He said, attend to my word. Incline your ear to my instruction. Don't let them depart from your eyes. They are life to those that find them and health to all our flesh. Hallelujah. I want life for my flesh. Hallelujah. My soulish flesh. Amen. How many know sometimes we have fleshly thoughts, we want to get help. But when we have the Word of God in front of our eyes, or we're listening to it, we're hearing it, how many knows it brings life to you? It is full of life. This Word, the Bible, what He gave us. These 66 books, it's not just another book. I don't think sometimes we think about it, do we? As much as we should. This is life, and it is food for my spirit. How about you? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray, and we'll get into the Word of God today. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for the truth that you speak to us. Father, this morning, as we bring forth your Word, we ask you would anoint me, Lord, that the words would be your words, Father. And that, Father, those that are hearing, you know, anoint the ears of the hearers to hear more than what is being said. And bring us grace and truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I've had some time to pray last few days also while I was driving and going back and forth to see my mother. You know, 6 or 7 hours, 7.5 maybe, of driving each way. And gives you some time to really pray and listen to the Lord's direction. And he's been speaking to me, actually. Not so much about this church per se, but just in life. And it's important right now that we draw near to him. And I know he's been saying that for a while, and some have gotten the prophecies. Pastor Bronk had some prophecies a few years, you know, 2020, I think it was, 19, end of 19, first part of 2020, that God is drawing us and drawing us in, but there's a purpose and there's a reason. And in my heart, I've been sensing God's getting ready. There's some things that are going to happen very, very shortly, not just for God, but also in the world. I mean, you know, when we seek God, there's going to be, Jesus said, there's going to be persecution in the last day. And if you don't know him, you'll want to. You're going to be finding those that do know him. And people will be coming into the kingdom. I'm not saying that, and it's not too late. But we are on a timeline, and God is asking people, will you press in? Will you come and seek me? Will you spend some extra time with me? Because there is nothing that there is nothing better than you knowing him yourself. Amen. How many believe that? How many know him? Amen. I know you do. And we're getting to know him more and more. And here we know that we're to be his disciple. We've talked about that. Amen. If you're going to be his disciples, who do we love most? We love God most, don't we? We love him more than we love any other person in our life. And we allow his influence more than any other person. Did you know that every single one of us, you have an influence? You influence somebody every day. Maybe you bought it, you know, you go around, you know, there's a reason they put those names on the cup. You know, you buy a cup of coffee from someplace. There's a reason they put their name on it. You know why they put their name on it? Because of the power of suggestion. Because you go around and you're drinking that cup of coffee and you go somewhere and someone sees that, oh, I think I'll grab a cup of coffee. And they see the name on that. Oh, yeah, I'll go there. I'll go to that place. It wasn't conscious. It was something, you know, it's just kind of like a, you know, but you influence through that name, carrying that coffee pot, coffee around, you influence someone. They were influenced by your presence and by seeing that name. And many times, if we're not careful, the world can influence us more than God. Why? Because we live in the world. It is a daily thing, isn't it? And so every day we have to decide if we want to follow God's plan for us, then we're going to have to do it on purpose. It's not going to happen by accident or by osmosis. It's going to happen because we choose every day, consistently, on a daily basis to seek after Him. Amen. All right, let's look at Romans chapter 8. We'll start there this morning. And I'm really not looking at my notes. I just have a few. I don't really think I need them today. Praise the Lord. These are our notes. Amen. Right here. This is the best note that you have right here. Because how many know God's word speaks to us? And you've got the Holy Spirit. How many have the Holy Spirit in you? Amen. He's in you. He's your teacher. He's our guide. He's the one we have to look to. And if we develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit as never before, it is His desire that we hear His voice. We listen to His instructions. Consistently. Amen. Said chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now the first thing that we see, it says, for the law, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And the first thing that I tend to ask myself, what does that mean to be in Christ Jesus? Here in this verse, therefore, there is therefore no condemnation, no condemning sentence that could be carried out upon a believer if you're in Christ Jesus. In other words, he goes on to say, who walk what? Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And really, that should be here in the English. You know, we place certain things on words. The word Spirit is pneuma. And in the Greek, pneuma can mean your spirit, man's spirit, the spirit of man. It can mean the Holy Spirit, it can mean, you know, or the Spirit of God. And so really by context is the way you realize whether it's referring to the Holy Spirit or to your human spirit. And in this case, he's really referring to the human spirit, really from the first verse up until the 16th verse. Each one of these scriptures sometimes is capitalized and we want to put the Holy Spirit in there. But really, he's referring to the new man, the new nature, the part of you that's been born from above. In John chapter 3, what Jesus says, you must be born again. In other words, you must be born from above. You receive a new birth in Christ. And he's saying here, Paul is just declaring, he says, therefore. Now, when we see it's therefore, he was talking about the old nature. If you look back at verse 5 of chapter 7, he says, for when we were in the flesh. Talking about when before you were born again is what he's really talking about here. He's not talking about him struggling with the outward man in chapter 7. He's talking about him struggling because he is not born again. He does not have the nature of Christ yet. He is struggling to keep the law because he knows it is impossible for a natural man or a fleshly person, someone that is not born again, to keep the law of God. It says the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. In other words, you and I had a death nature. We were bound in sin because of Adam, and through that nature, all men have to be changed. They have to be born again in order to come to God, in order to know God. And that's really what Paul is saying here. He's saying, well, what are we going to do then? Who's going to deliver me? Verse 24, he said, we can look up here earlier, and we know those verses a lot. He said, for the good I would, I do not, but that which I would, that I do. I can't do what I want to do. In other words, he says, my flesh, this law is in me and works against me, my mind. In my mind, I want to obey God. Anybody ever been there? If you're not born again, you can't do it. There's no power in there. But if you are born again, you can do it. Because he says, what's going to rescue us from this body of death? This law of sin and death. What rescues you from that law? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which comes into you when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. When you become born again. Because he goes on, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of the body of this death? I thank God, verse 25 of 7, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. Hallelujah. But with the flesh I serve the law of sin. His flesh was bound to sin. But he said what? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. That is what delivers us from the law of sin, and we're no longer bound to it. Sin, Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Now see, that's why I say throughout this whole book, a lot of times Paul goes back and forth. He's sharing the truth. He's sharing what it is to be someone that's bound by sin and someone that is free from sin. And he's telling us how to walk free. He said, if you are in Christ Jesus, then now there is no condemnation for you. There's no condemning sentence that can be carried out against you. Your sin has been forgiven. You have become a child of God. You've been born from above. You are his. You walk not after that death nature any longer, but now you walk after your new nature on the inside of you, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. Oh, glory to God, we are free in Christ. How many are happy about that? Because the law of the Spirit of life that is in him moved in to the inside of us. It is what the men of old and the prophets of old desired, so much so to see our day. They wished God would live in them. In the old covenant, he would come upon them from time to time. And yes, they were saved, what, in the belief of the coming Messiah. But the law of sin continued to live in them. Oh my, that's why we see people like David. Well, David was after God's own heart, and yet he sinned. And some would say he's quick to repent, but it did take him a while. It wasn't one day, it was quite a while, at least a year or so before the prophet came. Said, who's this man that has sinned? I mean, here he sinned with Bathsheba, had killed the, he killed her husband, had him killed, and yet he loved God. But see, he was bound under the same law. The law of sin and death worked in his members. He was not yet born again. His flesh didn't just work against him, but his spirit worked against him because it was not yet born again. They were bound in sin. But how many know that with that, even so, God would still come upon them? He came upon different men of old. He came upon Samson, what? That he could go up and carry the gates of iron off that city. He was probably a little man like Joseph, maybe, I don't know. He probably had some muscles, but how many know? Supernatural things would happen under the Old Testament externally. They saw many external exploits with God. How many know that when they crossed the Red Sea, what? The sea divided. When Elijah went across the river, he smote the water with his mantle, the anointing of God, and the river parted, and they walked across on the dry ground. Now, in our covenant, the Bible says we have a better covenant. Why is our covenant so much better? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus moved to the very inside of us, and you and I became the very literal sons and daughters of God that they so longed to be. They were the children of God. They loved God. They served God. But they had to do everything just right. They had to constantly have their mind thinking, am I doing the right thing? Am I following every little law? But the Bible says God has now written his law in your heart. And our heart, our spirit man, begins to tell us what is right and wrong because we came alive unto God. We are no longer dead in sin. We are not bound by the flesh. The flesh cannot destroy us. We live in a flesh body. But now, because we are sons of the living God, because God moved on the inside of you and I and we became his very temple, the thing that God desired from the beginning, since Adam and Eve, hallelujah, since they sinned, God wanted a people that he could come and dwell in them. Oh, glory to God. How many are thankful? See, we got everything that Adam and Eve had, and we do have a glorified body to our account. We are not living in it yet, but one day we will. Praise the Lord. How many are looking for that day? Hallelujah. When this body actually is shed also, and we will receive a body that's been glorified by God. Until that day, we have the promise of God that he will walk with us, and if we'll listen to that inward man on the inside of us, we're going to walk into a place of victory. We're going to walk into a walk with God by our spirit. Because how does God deal with you and I? He doesn't deal with us any longer. Under the old covenant, he dealt with them through the outward man, through their flesh. Amen. He did. There were things that happened, didn't they? If they didn't obey, they were put into captivity for a while. If you don't obey, you may be in captivity, but it's not a physical captivity. It's one that is bound. It is on the inside. It is sin that separates us from God. It is a separation from him, and our bondage is many times self-inflicted because we have chosen. See, they weren't free to choose to just walk. They could walk with God, and they were free to choose God, but they were not free in the sense that sin still dwelled in their conscience, and it still dwelled within them, and they had a great deal of struggle under the old covenant. God, yes, he would come upon them. Yes, he would help them, but they had to obey God, specifically obey certain laws of God. They had to go to the temple every year. They had to go every year. Why? Because they were still conscious of sin. Their inward man, they still said, man, I can't keep this law, no matter how hard they tried. They were blank. They tried to keep it perfectly, but they never could. No man could do it. But God said, I'm coming, and I'm going to come and live in man. And when man becomes born again, he receives the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It says, for what the law, the natural law, the Ten Commandments, and the laws that they had, the 630 that they ended up, or 613, I believe, that they ended up with, the law could not do. It was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, in a natural body. The Bible says he was made to be sin for you and I. If he didn't become sin, then our sin would have caused death. It causes death in us. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. Or eternal separation from God forever. Well, I thought the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, there's not until we receive Jesus. We don't have our own righteousness. We have his righteousness. Man's righteousness can never produce salvation. That's exactly what Paul's saying. He said the law could not do. It could not bring someone to Jesus and be set free from that sin. They were constantly in the flesh, or we would say under sin. They were bound in sin. They could not be free. It was absolutely impossible because the law could not bring salvation. It could only prove. All the law could do was point to salvation in the coming Messiah. And when we read the Old Testament, we see over and over a pointing to Jesus. Remember when Jesus, when Moses first, he's taken him out into the wilderness, and the first time they cried for water, and he struck the rock, and water came out, right? But once that rock represented Christ. Once the rock was struck, once Jesus paid the penalty, once he had paid the price, once he was whipped and he died on the cross, the penalty was paid for. It was showing the rock to come. So the second time, Moses was to what? Speak to the rock, wasn't he? God did it differently. He said, now, how many know that God says in the Word of God, now, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give you. You see, all through the Old Testament, it was pointing to a man named Jesus, to the Savior of the world, so that man could then bow his knee and be filled on the inside, be changed on the inside from darkness to light, translated from the power of Satan or under the law of sin into the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. When Jesus moves in, sin moves out. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you say, well, can I sin? Well, could Jesus have sinned? Yes. You can sin, but we don't have to any longer. It no longer can dominate us. We don't have to walk in it, but there are struggles. I understand. I know some people. We read that last week. We talked there in Galatians 5. He says, because the flesh does war against the spirit, doesn't it? The outward man, this fleshly man, our fleshly thoughts. And we have to do something about it, but we have the power of God on the inside of us now. We have a new nature. You have a spirit man that's been alive to God. Now, this is in connection with that, we also can receive more than that. But this spirit, just the new nature alone, if someone doesn't pray in tongues, they don't receive the Holy Spirit, they have power over all sin. You said, well, why do some struggle more than others? Well, some have sinned more than others. And sometimes there are things within our mind, our natural mind, our natural emotions that have become a part of our being that have to be turned. They can't just be dismissed. There's emotions involved with that memory. There's things involved with that pain that was inflicted upon a person. There's things that they have to overcome. There's things that they saw with their natural eyes. And there are things that have to be renewed. God said we still have to be renewed in what? The spirit of our mind. We still have to allow the Holy Spirit to help us to renew that mind with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Why? Because we still have natural things that are in there. You didn't come. How many of you here were born as a baby and you just knew everything about the world? You knew it all. No, you didn't know anything till you were 16, then you knew it all. No. You know. And then you found out about 20, you know, 25, you didn't know as much as you thought. You know. Amen. Hallelujah. But we realize, see, when we're born again, we don't just know everything. Even Jesus had to learn. The Bible says he learned obedience through some of the things that he suffered, that he went through, that he gathered. He didn't sin because he didn't have a nature to sin. He was born from what? From God, through Mary. So his nature was not of sin. But you and I were born into a sin-fallen man, a sinful a sinful race. A race that was fallen from God, human race. We didn't ask to be born into this race. Who has asked to be born a human? You know, we don't ask. God placed that ability within man. He gave man the power to reproduce at his will. And there's, you know, and that was what was put into effect at the beginning. I don't think God didn't want man to fail. God didn't expect Adam and Eve not to win, not to overcome. You saw, why did they? Because they were deceived. Satan deceived them. We've been talking about that, haven't we? We talked about how he was cast out of heaven. But Satan's deception is what brought man down. He was pretty good at it, apparently. He caused man to disobey God. Man didn't know. Adam and Eve, they didn't know good or evil, did they? They didn't know what was right and wrong because they didn't know. Well, they knew what was right and wrong. They knew what was right, period. That's all they really knew. It's very hard for us to understand. They didn't know evil. They didn't know that evil really existed until sin came into being. Their disobedience caused a death in their spiritual. So they went from spiritual life, this law of the spirit of life, to the law of sin and death. They died, not physically immediately, but spiritually they died. And so, therefore, that death came to what? All men. We had all died. You know, Romans 3 says that, you know, spiritual death came to all men. He had a, you know, they couldn't keep the law. The law, it was impossible. The law could not do. It says, for what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh or sinful man. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Glory to God. Woo! He said, I have paid the price. Through Jesus, I have made a way. What? That the righteousness, verse 4, of the law might be fulfilled in us. Woo-hoo, glory. Who walk not after that old nature, but after the reborn human spirit that God has given to you when you were born again. Oh, my Lord, hallelujah. I know I get excited, and I know it's real simple. But it's very profound when we realize and we think about what God has given us, that God himself has chosen to live in man. He said, I'm going to change you. I'm going to remove, I'm going to tear that spirit of death out of you, and I am going to give you life. In your spirit, there's that seal. It said, I'm going to seal you with myself. You are mine. You are my son. You are my daughter. And he is your God and my God. Oh, hallelujah. For they that are after the flesh, or they're not really born again, they're in a fleshly state. Can't help it. They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, the things of the new man, the things that God has prepared for us to walk in. He said, we're saved by what? Grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. But we are prepared unto what? Good works. He's got things for us to do. Hallelujah. He has plans. Hallelujah. Begins with this born again experience, but we're moving forward. Our mind is not bound on the things of the world, but the things of God. Our mind can be changed. Our mind can continue to work with us. Now, of course, if we believe lies, guess what? We're going to act just like the fleshly world, like we're not saved. If the enemy is allowed to trick us and to train us, how many know that the body can be trained? Did you know your body can be trained? It gets trained all the time. Well, how do you know? Because I look around. You know, the world, they put things in like soda, you know. What do? They use high fructose corn syrup. Why? Because it's very addicting. It's very addicting. Hallelujah. It's not good for you, but it's addicting. It can become something like that. How many know? Did you know that back in like around 1950, the average person ate about 25 pounds of sugar a year? Did you know that by 1970, they were eating about 75 pounds a year? Did you know that today, the average person, that means some people eat more and some people eat a little less, but the average is 200 pounds of sugar per year, per person. Because they have made at a, because they have advertised and they have taken the food and they put it in there and they know everybody likes it. And they have what? Tried to cause you to become addicted to things. You know, people get addicted to all sorts of things besides, you know, I know we got the regular, you know, everybody says, well, they have an addiction, but sometimes it's to certain food. You know, oh, well, who says that? I haven't had my coffee yet. Just a minute. I'm not saying coffee's bad for you, but how many know anything in excess is not good? You know, you can eat 20 steaks in one day. It probably wouldn't be too good for you. It's good, healthy, you know, you can, you know. To have a steak is good, but to have 20 steaks might not be, you know, if I eat them all at once. And so we can say anything, you know, can become addictions to the body, but the body can be trained. You can train your body to exercise. You know, if you do it enough, it starts getting used to it and your body wakes up. And, you know, I'm not saying every time you'll want to do it, but once you get there, you start realizing, hey, it's pretty good. I'm feeling what? Better. You start feeling better. Or we can, you know, have positive things. You can get yourself addicted to the Word of God. How many are addicted to God's Word? Amen. Take it down, lay it by your bed there, you know, when you get up in the morning, we open it. We want to put His Word first. What does God say about my situation? See, that's being thinking from our spirit man. What does the Word of God say about it? Sometimes people don't care what the Word says. Even Christian people sometimes, they don't think about it. Why? Because they're not being in tune with their spiritual man. Now, what is the number one thing that takes place when we begin to spend time praying in other tongues. Our spirit gets woken up even more. It begins to what? Be edified. Be strengthened. Why? So that it is stronger than the fleshly part of us. The natural man that wants to crave the wrong thing. Eat, drink too many sodas, right? Or he wants to eat four pieces of pie instead of one. Well, Pastor Doug, what are you talking about? Well, I didn't have four pieces this time, so I did good. I did have one small piece, but praise the Lord. But we mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, who decides what we think on? Does God decide what you think on, or do you decide what you think on? Have you thought about that yet? I mean, seriously, we a lot of times we can decide what to think on, but sometimes how many have ever really taken a day and start keeping track of the things that your mind is thinking on? Are you really thinking about what you're thinking? Or are we just letting thoughts flow? See, we can take the Word of God and make it say anything. We leave it out of, you know, if we take it out of context. But there are many principles in the Bible that are not based on one verse. There may be one verse that says it, but it's based upon many verses and the context of the whole Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, Jesus said, you know, sin doesn't have dominion over us. However, we choose. We can choose whom we obey. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has moved into the inside of you. Christ Himself lives in there. Your nature has now become one with Him, one with God. God in you and you in Him is what Jesus said in John 17. Hallelujah. All right. The carnal mind is enmity, or it's the enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind, that's the mind that's under the law of sin and death. But our mind is under what? We place it under the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Well, what is the mind of Christ? It is what His will is for any situation. That is the mind of Christ, His will. Mainly, number one, we have the Word of God, which gives His general will. And then we have what? The mind, the Word, the God speaking to our spirit. His inner witness that's on the inside of us, number one. How many ever heard that witness? You ever hear that? Where God is on the inside of you, nudging you. See, God does not force us. It's so important to realize that God does not make you do anything. He will not. The Bible said, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Not drugged by God. God won't drag you. He'll nudge you. He won't give up on you. But He will not make you. Because you have been made a son of the living God. You are your own person. And He wants those that love Him. He wants us to use our free will to choose Him. And when we use our free will, say, Lord, I choose You. I love You. I want to obey You. I need Your help. When we're in trouble, He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to fellowship with Him when we're having a struggle. When we're dealing with that. When that thing is trying to destroy you, when your emotions are a mess, He wants us to come and worship Him to bring stability to our being and then talk to Him and let Him speak to us about whatever it is that we are facing that day, at that moment, at that time. He so longs for us to worship Him, to be with Him, to involve Him in our life. He's not really just interested in us worshiping Him. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. That's important because it's giving Him our love the best we know how. We can love Him because we choose to. We can walk with Him and we can put our mind on the things of God because we choose to. But if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. He said, those that are in the flesh, the natural man, the fleshly person, the one that's not born again, they can't. It is impossible for them to please God because they're bound, what, by that law of sin and death. But you and I have been made free. And in our freedom, we said this before, there's a responsibility. Because now that you're free, you don't have to. Well, what do you mean you don't have to? No. We don't have to. We get to. We get to walk with God. God invites us to walk with Him. But He doesn't make us. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. What is he saying? You're not in that flesh, but you have a reborn human spirit if you know God. If you have confessed Him as your Savior. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, well, what is that? Who quickens our old man? Who quickens our spirit to life? The Holy Spirit, He does. He comes and quickens us, makes us alive to God, and gives us a new spirit. Our spirit is one just like Christ. He says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, He's none of His. Well, what is the Spirit of Christ? The Spirit of Christ is the one that was born again when Jesus was here on the earth. The one that He was born with from His Father above. He had no death in Him. He had a spirit that was alive to God. That is the Spirit of Christ. And so if you have the Spirit of Christ, you don't really have Christ's spirit per se, but your spirit has been made new and is alive to the Father just like Jesus' spirit was. That is the Spirit of Christ. And that's what lives inside of you. The same kind of spirit that Jesus had, you have. You have your own spirit. It is your spirit. But that spirit was made alive to God. It was made brand new, and you became His son. You became able to walk with God. You became able to understand the things of God. You can now understand what God says and believe it and walk in faith with it. Why? Because you've been born again. If you hadn't been born again, it is impossible. The natural man or the fleshly person, the person that doesn't know God can't walk with Him, but you can. You can walk with God. You can know God. You can understand the things of God because that spirit on the inside of you was changed. The Spirit of Christ moved in. The very life of God moved in to the inside of you. You became His temple. You became His son, His daughter. You were born from above. You are not your own, but you belong to Him. He purchased you at the cross. And when you received the salvation, you received an inheritance that came from Him that included that new birth. Oh, hallelujah. That new spirit that moved on the inside of you. It included the health of God. It included His provision. That included all that God is became yours because you became one with Him. Hallelujah. How many are glad you're in union with God? How many think His power is greater than your power? You know, anybody ever try to help Him? You know, He really doesn't need it. He needs our obedience, but He doesn't really need our help. We need to walk with Him. We need to obey Him and hear Him and realize that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. So if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. the righteousness of God that moved to the inside of you. The righteousness that Jesus purchased because of his perfect life and died under the penalty of sin, being the perfect man. It was impossible. There was no perfect man. All had sinned. All had fallen short of the glory of God. So what was God looking for? He was looking for someone that could be that man. He wanted a man that was perfect, that could pay the price for the sin. Why? So that he could have fellowship with man once again in its fullness, in its completeness. That he and you could have complete connection. That there would be nothing between us any longer. That sin barrier would be broken. And that we would be made new and become actual sons of God. And he would live in you and you would live in him. And we would be one together. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And that's exactly what happened. That's why he had to send Jesus. Because there was no perfect man on the earth. He had to get permission from man to send Jesus into the earth. Man had to say, okay, Mary said, be it unto me what according to your word. She gave God the authority to use her body to He said, a body I prepared for you. And he sent his son into the womb of Mary to be born as a man. God himself becoming man. Oh, hallelujah. Humbling himself, being willing to pay the price. That's what we're getting ready to celebrate, isn't it? Here in just a few more days. Hallelujah. A few more weeks, I should say. It's not days, it's about a month. So. Hallelujah. But hang with us. We're really celebrating Jesus every day, aren't we? We're celebrating Christmas on the inside of us every day that we wake up and we begin to acknowledge our Father. Oh, hallelujah. So, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we'll die. But if through the Spirit, through our man, that new spirit, that new life that we received on the inside, we do mortify, or we would say put to death. Amen. Hallelujah. The deeds of the body, ye shall live. So it is through that inward man that we have the ability to put to death the deeds of the body. Hallelujah. The body was declared what? Dead. It is something that God cannot really redeem. But we're going to have to get a whole new one. He already called it dead. He said, positionally, that body is declared dead, yet we live in it. And so we have to decide that we're going to put the body under. Paul said, I die daily. I die what? Not to my spirit, but to my body. I, the real me, the spirit man that's on the inside of me, dies daily. I daily count my flesh but dead, that I live not after it any longer, but I live unto God. The life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and has given himself for me. Oh, hallelujah. What a joy to walk with God in power. To walk with him. He says, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're led by that new nature. That's where he speaks to you. That's where he talks to us. That's where he guides us from, is from that inward man. That man that was made alive on the inside, that we can now walk with him. We can now talk with him. We can now rejoice with him. We can share our burden with him. We can share a struggle with him. We can come to him and overcome sin. Hallelujah, because his power is within. He said, I gave you a nature that's just like that of Christ, and you can now walk like him. You can walk in freedom from sin. Now, I'm not saying there are struggles that take place in our fleshly man. That flesh may draw you to look at something you shouldn't look at. That flesh may draw you to eat something you shouldn't eat. Hallelujah. That flesh may tell you. You know, the enemy lies. How many know? There's suggestions of the mind that the enemy brings. Every thought is not your thought. Every thought is not your thought. He wants you to believe it's your thought. But that's not the real you. That may be the outward man or the unrenewed part of you. But that's not you. The real you is on the inside, and you can say, no, I'm not walking that way. I'm not going to obey that flesh. I'm not going to do that any longer. I'm going to just stop from it. You say, well, it may not happen the first time. No. But if you continue with him, continue to train our spirit, man, let it mature. Let it grow. Continue to feed the Word of God. The Word of God is food for our spirit. We continue to meditate on that Word. We continue to get our mind renewed. We continue to pray in the Holy Spirit. We continue to worship God and to seek after him, to know him. In all of his fullness, we allow the flesh man. It will become what? Dead. That's what we do. We mortify it. We put it to death through that new man that's on the inside of us. And God will guide, he will lead, he will strengthen, he will cause us to walk in what? Victory. Not sometimes, but we can actually come to the place where we walk in victory every time. And things of the flesh can fall away. They can be no more, where they're no longer a part of our life. But the life of God and the love of God and the faith of God is what leads and guides us from the inside out. Amen. And we overcome what? In this world, right here, right where we are. Amen. Glory to God. When we let our new man reign, hallelujah, by the power and in connection with what? The help of the Holy Spirit. He'll help us. He is in you. If you've been born again, God's in you. You've got a new nature. You can overcome all sin. We can walk free. We have to just humble ourselves and take ourselves. Say, no, I'm going to believe what God says above what I see with my natural mind, above what I feel, above my sense ruled realm, my senses, above what I think. I'm going to take what he thinks. And I'm going to get my mind on him. And I'm going to think spiritually minded. Amen. Hallelujah. Walk after that new nature and walk with him in the Spirit, in my new nature, and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. That's on top of that. We'll get there. Praise the Lord. How many are thankful that you've been born again? That you have a new nature on the inside of you. Your spirit was changed from darkness to light. You're no longer the same. You became a son, a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ himself, one that will never be the same again. You'll not be bound by that death any longer. You can begin to walk free. It all starts at that new birth, doesn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. How many want to walk with him? Glory to God. You want to see those changes take place more and more. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we've encouraged your people, Father. We've looked into the truth of the word, Father. We're thankful that we are your very own sons and daughters and that you are our Father. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, I think I'll leave that there. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I praise you, Father. We worship you. We thank you for changing us, Lord, for making us new, not leaving us bound to sin, but we are now bound to you in righteousness and true holiness, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus.